We are back here on the Giants pregame show. Kerry Crowley coming to you live from KMBR alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. Adam Copeland joins us now. Copes, how are you on this fine Mother's Day?
Pretty good, dude. I'm in an Uber right now with Sash and my brother, and we're on the Embarcadero pulling up to Second and King here in just a couple of minutes. Going to go to the ball game with my sister and my mom as well. So that's how we're celebrating today.
That is tremendous. Happy Mother's Day to your mom as well. And so let's talk a little Giants baseball. What did you think of the Buster Posey ceremony on Saturday? The ceremony honoring, of course, an all-time Giants great, how the Giants pulled out all the stops, the different speakers, Benji Molina, Bruce Bochy, Jeremy Affeldt, so on and so forth. What did you make of all of it?
It's pretty sweet. I mean, I think we all know the Giants do those sort of celebrations, those sort of reunions better than anybody. They've always got big surprises. I thought the video tributes were pretty cool. They threw in the old Spanish commercial with photo novella commercial with Buster Posey and Sergio Romo and Javi Lopez. I thought that was pretty cool. The Benji Molina moment was real sweet because I think a lot of people look back at that and remember how sort of sour Benji was, and anybody would be. You know, he had been here through the hard times. He was a fan favorite. He was hitting in the middle of a lineup when he probably should have been down near the bottom, but he was a good Giant, and I thought it was pretty cool that he said, you know, Buster, he got me the ring, and then he signs the back of his jersey. I thought it was a lot of fun and a great way to honor one of the all-time Giants, a Mount Rushmore Giant, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Benji Molina, two-time Willie Mack Award winner, and Buster Posey absolutely forcing the issue in the first half of the 2010 season. And, you know, seeing Brian Wilson out there, Copes, it really brought me back to 2010, watching the Giants close out the Texas Rangers and seeing the highlight of Buster racing to the mound at the end of the 2010 season when the Giants were winning the NL West title. And, of course, at the end of that World Series, that 2010 World Series, obviously the first of three, but for many people, the most significant of the three because it ended the 52-year drought in San Francisco. What do you remember about that postseason, watching the Giants, and maybe the conviction or belief that you had at that time that they might be able to pull it off?
Well, you know what's funny is, and I'll start it off with a reaction to the Brian Wilson comment. It was pretty sweet seeing Brian Wilson out there with his flair and just sort of the way he still looks. It kind of leads you to believe none of it was ever an act, right? Like that's just who that guy was. Like and he's still that guy. So it was cool seeing Brian Wilson out there. In terms of the 2010 season, I think you and I were talking about it on the Copes and Crowley pod this weekend that we're at the point now where we're about 8 years away from the last time the Giants were in the World Series. That's where we were in 2010, right? They hadn't been since 2002. Giants fans for generations had not seen a World Series win. So I remember the angst at that point, feeling like, yeah, the city's being taken over by Giants playoff baseball, but the angst was that it could just be another letdown. So it was a pretty magical run. It was a Giants team that had emerged pretty quickly. Don't forget where they were in 2008 and then 2009 winning 88 games. And then in 2010, they had the pitching staff. They had Tim Lincecum and Madison Bumgarner and Buster Posey. They were the hot young team. And oftentimes in pro sports, you get to the playoffs with a young team and you're not ready to win at all. That Giants team had the pitching to do so. They had the two-time Cy Young Award winner. And you mentioned Brian Wilson. They had not had a lockdown closer of that ilk or of that capacity since Rob Nend. So I think it was obviously a magical run for the Giants, but those are the things that stand out to me from that year.
Absolutely. Adam Copeland, host of Tolbert and Copes on KMBR weekdays, 2 to 6, Monday through 5, joining us here on Talking Baseball Giants pregame show. Copes, do you have a favorite Buster Posey moment? I know for so many people it's the home run against Cincinnati in 2010, that, you know, the grand slam that off of Matt Latos, Ryan Hannigan, the famous reaction. Do you have a favorite moment of Buster Posey through his career?
Yeah, I mean, that one's pretty sweet. I mean, that's you know, tough to beat. And the fact that he did it against like a Giant villain in Matt Latos, and it was in a game five winner take all come from behind. I think that one is probably up at the top. But if you think about other moments that you love Buster Posey for, Raph actually reminded me of one yesterday, or maybe it was Friday at the station. He said his favorite Buster Posey moment, and I got to put this on my list, is the one where Jake Peavy's pitching, is yelling at the umpire and doesn't realize that Buster's thrown the ball back to him, and it bounces off of Peavy's chest and into his glove. It's like, oh, man, Buster Posey's mistakes are even highlights. So you got to put that one, I think, on the list as sort of a funny Buster Posey moment.
Absolutely. I think I said 2010. That was 2012 postseason that he hit the Grand Slam off Matt Latos, leading the Giants back against the Cincinnati Reds in Game 5. Just an iconic moment in the MVP season that he had. Let's talk a little bit about this current Giants team. Feels weird to say 15-12 heading into today's game, Coast, but the fourth place San Francisco Giants, they're behind the Colorado Rockies right now, who come in for three games this week. Then the Giants are off to Coors Field. What do you make of the recent stretch of ball, yesterday's game notwithstanding?
First of all, how annoying are the Colorado Rockies? Like, what business do they have being above the Giants, even at this point? And then you got to play them 19 times. I know the schedule will get more balanced next season, but they always feel like they bring Colorado with them. They're just an obnoxious team to have to play, even though the Giants beat up on them pretty good last year. You know, they're just sort of treading water right now, and they're getting guys back. They're getting more healthy, which I think is obviously the trend the Giants want to be going in right now. It sort of stinks to see Brandon Belt go down immediately after coming back off of the COVID list yesterday. But Dominic Leone back, Zach Littell back, Lamont Wade Jr. back. So it's starting to look more and more like the Giants lineup that we had projected coming into the season, which is definitely a positive. My big concern is really with the starting pitching, which is supposed to be the strength of this team. And throughout this little run, they were kind of doing what the Dodgers did all of last year, going bullpen games every couple of days. And it's just not sustainable throughout the course of a season. I know they've got more in the works. Jacob June is going to go today. And you've also got guys like Matt Boyd, who's trying to work his way back. Des Clafani going to start throwing off a mound next week. So if the starting pitching can get healthy and they get these bats back in the lineup like they had projected at the start of the year, I think the confidence is there that more teams getting into the postseason, the Giants can compete through the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Very important that the Giants starting to get healthy again. They've got a number of guys who've come off the COVID list. Mike Yastrzemski off, and he's in the lineup today. Brandon Belt had some neck stiffness yesterday. He was scratched from today's lineup, so he will be out for one more day. Copes, you bring up the name Lamont Wade Jr. I know that you're a Lamont Wade head, so I would imagine today's a good day for his first hit of the season, huh?
I'm a Lamont Wade junkie. I'm a Lamont Wade head. I'm a fanatic. You put the descriptive word on it there, and I'm going to file my name under Lamont Wade Jr. I think, you know, not just him getting back and back into the lineup. You think about losing the Willie Mack Award winner. That's a big deal, especially through a six-month season, to not have your gel guy, not have the guy that walks into the clubhouse. So it was, I think it was Jeremy Affeldt or somebody was telling Tom and I that the other day, that it's nice to just see your guys come back through the door. You like to see the dudes that you want to play ball with, and Lamont Wade is clearly one of those guys based on the Willie Mack Award last year. So, yeah, good day for his first knock, and a good day to take the series here, split the series with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Absolutely. Chatting with Adam Copeland here on the Giants pregame show. A few more for you, Copes. I did want to pick your brain a little bit about one of the national stories across baseball this week, and that is the Madison Bumgarner ejection in Miami. That was the second career ejection of Madison Bumgarner's career. Dan Bellino throwing him out. We've all seen the viral clip. What did you think of the way that Bumgarner handled that and the way that Dan Bellino, the umpire, handled that?
Well, real quick, you said it was Bumgarner's second ejection. I saw this note actually this morning about Max Scherzer. He got ejected from a game from the dugout earlier this week.
Yeah.
Max Scherzer in his career has been ejected twice, and he wasn't pitching in either game, which is hilarious to me. That he was just getting tossed from the dugout. Anyway, Madison Bumgarner and the Dan Bellino thing, like, everybody's kind of got the same take on it. Hey, Dan, nobody's here to see you. It's not your job to control the game in that capacity. And I saw John Shea wrote a good piece about this in the Chronicle earlier this week. There's a way to handle this where the optics of even walking off the field and having your hand checked to the sticky substance just doesn't look good for baseball anyway. Let's check every guy at the end of every inning to see if he was cheating. And if he is, everybody saw us catch him. You could put an MLB official or an extra umpire in the dugout where you walk down into the dugout, you give the pitcher a second to cool off after the inning has ended, because Bumgarner was upset about some of the calls and sort of chewing out the home plate umpire. So Dan Bellino was trying to stand up for a young ump, and he's been around for about a decade or so. So, there's a better way to go about this. Obviously, you never want to see an umpire show up a player like that and sort of egg him into a fight or bait him into a fight, and then you hold all the power to toss him. So it sounds like Dan Bellino has been punished, but he is working this weekend. I don't know if he's looking at a suspension or if he was fined, but that's the word that I had heard, that Dan Bellino has been handed some sort of punishment from the league.
I also liked what Madison Bumgarner had to say afterward. He said, hey, I don't want an apology from Dan Bellino. I want him to apologize to the pitcher who had to come in after me and then threw so many pitches that he got sent down to AAA and cost him 3-4 days of major league salary. I think that, you know, that was Bumgarner showing his veteran wisdom there and realizing that, hey, look, you know, this is not a situation where he should have been thrown out of the game, but this is also not a situation where another player should have to bear the brunt of the punishment.
Well, it's a great point because that's sort of the business element of this, and I think it's good for fans to recognize that too, that we see these players as products of their team and of the organization, but it's like these guys are out here, yeah, we always talk about it's a business, it's a job. That's a real-life example of how that's going to affect a guy's bottom line. His family comes out to see him maybe pitch and play, or he gets optioned back down. Now he's got to go back and figure out his living situation. Especially when you're on a taxi squad like that, it's not easy to handle. But when an umpire has affected how the game is managed or the way players are going to get used because of something selfish where he wanted to show up Bumgarner and he wanted to show him, really make an example of him that this is not something that that you can do, argue back with a young umpire. I just think it's sort of nonsensical, and I hope there are ramifications just sort of at the way the league looks at that and the way fans look at that because it is a real-life situation for these players.
Absolutely. Hey, Adam Copeland, thank you so much for joining us here on the Giants pregame show. Happy Mother's Day to your mom. Hope you guys enjoy your time out at the yard, and wishing you guys all the best of luck here on this Sunday.
You too, man, and happy Mother's Day to your mom. I'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Sounds good. He is Adam Copeland, host of Tolbert & Copes, weekdays 2 to 6 here on KNBR. So much more coming up during this Giants pregame show. Giants and the Cardinals coming up at 1:05 here on The Leader. We've got you for the next hour or so. Plenty of diamond notes coming your way. We'll get you that Giants lineup. It's been updated since Brandon Belt has been removed with neck stiffness. That was the injury he exited Saturday's game with. It's Dakota Hudson going forward, the St. Louis Cardinals against Jacob Junis for the San Francisco Giants. One of the early good stories for the San Francisco Giants right now is Jacob Junis, who's pitched in relief a few times, has been very impressive in that capacity. Nasty slider that Junis is working with, and on a windy day at Oracle Park, that could be the difference against a veteran St. Louis Cardinals lineup. So plenty of more Giants talk coming up next here on KNBR. I want to remind you that now it's time for this week's Community Spotlight, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, with 15 locations to serve you around the Bay Area. This month's spotlight is on the food bank of Contra Costa and Solano.